Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today's Friday, April 3rd, 2026, and we're reading from the Big Book. We are in There's a Solution. We are on page 28, and I believe it's the fourth paragraph, starting with, "We think it no concern of ours," ending with, "But most of us favor such memberships." Our readers today, 10 to Peace, 10 on the Steps, the 12 Traditions Kelly H. is going to share, Colleen M. is going to read and share, and then also be the newcomer reader. She's filling in. And then page 164 is Julie G., second hour host is Pam S.R., and the announcements, Kathy S. is taking care of that. The share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,335. That's 23,335. 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,336. 23,336. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Always not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery to those through the recovery of the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, always fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day and happy holiday, whatever you celebrate. Thank you.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Kelly H. with the 12 Traditions.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina. the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous may remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to the Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public policy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Tenzin. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we are back in There's a Solution. And we are on page 28. And fourth paragraph. I'm discombobulated today. So it's the fourth paragraph, starting with, "We think it no concern of ours," and ending with, "But most of us favor such memberships." And Colleen M. is going to start us off and share.
Good morning. This is Colleen M. from Maryland, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Russ, for your service and everyone else that's doing service. We think it is no concern of ours that religious bodies, we think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. This should be an entirely personal affair, which each one decides for himself in the light of past association or his present choice. Not all of us join religious bodies, but most of us favor such membership. So this paragraph, it goes, you know, hand in hand with the paragraph that we read yesterday, but you know, it's none of our business about religion. That's what I so much loved and appreciated when I got here this last time around in 2015. I was raised in a religion. I spent most of my adult life practicing that religion, and I had decided as my disease progressed that no longer worked for me. I had all kinds of resentments towards the church that I grew up in, blamed it for all kinds of things that went wrong in my life. And when I came back, I wanted no parts of religion, and I didn't really want any parts of God, but you know, I believed there was a God. I just didn't believe that God had, that God was cared about me, or, you know, I wouldn't have wound up in a 12-step group, multiple 12-step groups. So I really needed this this attitude of, you know, it could be my own choosing whether or not I had a religious affiliation or not. And that, you know, the only requirement was for me to believe that there was one power that was greater than myself, and that I was willing to be open to that power. And it was a very slow road back for me. First, to get a relationship with the higher power that I could trust and rely on and turn my will and life over to, and that forming that relationship. And, you know, I'm back in the religion that I started off in. I've gone to multiple different churches, and I've tried lots of different religious ideas. And for today, I'm going to a church that, like I said, that I from my youth, and that's for today. It may change tomorrow, but today I believe my higher power is leading me in the direction that I need to go. And you don't, for many years I did not attend a church at all, and that was fine too. Doesn't mean I did not have a relationship with this power in my life. And if you choose not to, you know, there's lots of different, even talks about people who the agnostics and the atheists, they still can get this thing. So basically, I guess I'll shut up because I'm rambling, but the idea is that one, I'm not the power. Two, I've got to find a power greater than myself. And then I have to work towards a relationship with that power. And I don't have to worry about how anyone else is doing it. This is a personal journey with me and my higher power that we take together on a daily basis. Nice. All right. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you for getting us started, Colleen. And we're going to open the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to share. Need your first name, first initial of your last name, where you're calling in from, and I will definitely let you know where we are, remind you where we are throughout the meeting. So, who's up?
Me, Teresa A.
All right, got Nick F., Teresa,
Rick J.,
Mary C.
Got you, Rick. Mary C.,
Julie G.
Julie.
Pedro B.
Pedro.
Janice.
Who
H.
else?
Janice H.
Janice H. And who was from the Claire? Okay, Claire. Gotcha, Claire. Gotcha. Let's get a couple more. If not, no problem, but.
Michelle M.
Kelsey R.
There we go.
Jennifer
We
C.
got it. We got our even C. 11 R. right now. It's good. Kelsey, I got you. Michelle M. And then who was the last one? Was it Jennifer C.?
Jennifer C. Yes, sir.
All right, yeah. Got that even 11. We're good. Okay. So our list, we got a great list. We got Nick F., Teresa A., I believe it is, Rick J., Mary C., Julie G., Pedro B., Janice H., Claire E., Michelle M., Kelsey R., and Jennifer C. All right, Nick, you're up. Star one, Nick.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, family. Can I be heard now?
Got you.
Oh, okay. Oh, it means so much to me that you're leading the meeting today, Russ. And I'm Nikki F. in Tennessee. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, you were here when I was in relapse, and here when I was stone cold abstinent, and here when I'm on my face crawling and just trying to get to God. And this abstinence was my God for a long time. And it worked. I lost 350 pounds. Abstinence is not my God today because you told me that it can't be. you all, my family on this line told me that abstinence won't work. I could stop, but I won't stay stopped with abstinence as my God. And it's not just what you told me, but it was my living experience. And so I'm so glad that God has each and every one of you here. And you know, we're talking about religion and I was groomed for the church. My dad is a pastor. My mom's a minister of music. I even woke up living in a church, having breakfast in a church, singing in the church. But I come here today to say my God is bigger than the church. I wish I was a big book thumper, but being on here with so many big book thumpers, I have to accept I'm not a big book thumper. But what I do have is what happens when the book gets in my heart, not just in my head, but what happens when it gets in my heart. And I just want to share this little story because this is what God just did for me. My son went missing for 2 days. My sponsor sent me a question mark because I didn't send my food day before yesterday. But I didn't know my son was missing because he's at his dad's house. But the spirituality, one of my fellows told me, Nick, when you got a son like yours, you got to get super spiritual. So I went to Walgreens and I printed out some pictures. And the first day my son was missing that I didn't actually know he was missing because his dad said he had whooped him. He found him and whooped him. So I'm thinking he found him and surely took him in the house. I didn't know he whooped him in the street. But anyway, I had printed out some pictures at the Walgreens. Nobody's printing out pictures today, but this was something spiritual. And I lit some candles. And so I just got down on the floor, and I'm just face down on the floor just praying for my son, not knowing that he's missing, walking the streets of Memphis. And at this point, I'm not even speaking English. I'm like, yada-da-da-da. I'm saying my alphabets. I'm just trying to get to anybody who will listen because my son's life is in trouble. And yesterday, I text my son. I said, son, since I've been sober, I've not known where my children were. And I don't plan to go to bed tonight not knowing where you are. When I got off from work yesterday, I found God. I didn't find him because he wasn't lost. He was in the hands of God. I got my son back yesterday, and my sponsor sent me a question mark because the furthest thing from my mind was compulsive overeating. The furthest thing from my mind was getting a drink or a drug. I just wanted to be with my son. And if I, as a human with all these addictions, can love a child this much, I'm getting to learn who this God is bigger than me. And he's bigger than the church, and he's bigger than me, and he's bigger than life. Thank you for teaching me who God is. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Nick. Next up is Teresa A., followed by Rick J.
Thank you very much. This is Teresa A. In Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm very moved. So this particular paragraph, you know, talks about, you know, religion and religious parties and how it is a personal affair, and indeed it is. You know, I was born and raised in a particular faith. But, you know, for a long time, I had a very immature understanding of that faith. You know, my religious education probably formally stopped at adolescence. And even though I continued to grow, my understanding of that faith stayed in the adolescent form. And I did what I was told to do and then eventually rebelled and tried something else and came back and went away and tried something else. But what really helped me shape my religious identity was becoming a member of OA, and living in the 12, seeking the 12 steps, because all of a sudden things that I heard and I didn't understand, it came to life because, you know, my disease and trying to get out of it made a lot of things a lot more clear. So being in 12 steps has actually enhanced my religious program. It wasn't a religious program that enhanced my recovery. I think it's a loop. It feeds itself, you know, and because I've been in OA for so many years, I have grown up as a person in the faith, and I believe that I am more mature today. And, you know, they say that when, you know, that we're a child, you know, we talk as children, we think as children, we're in the world as children, but living in recovery has shown me to put away childish things. And the childish thing I'm putting away is my old conception of that religion. And I'm being shown the new way. When I say the set-aside prayer, I'm setting aside so many things that I thought I knew. And I have a whole new association with the religion I was grown up in because I'm no longer a child. I'm an adult. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you. And I pass.
Thanks, Teresa. Appreciate it. Next up is Rick J., followed by Mary C.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service, brother. This is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. The thing that came to my mind was Tradition 10 this morning. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And since this is a OA meeting, it's Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. You know, and I am so grateful that there's no controversy over this because it's deeply personal for everyone, for our religion or lack thereof. You know, I was drawn to the long version of Tradition 10, which no OA group or member should ever, in such a way as to implicate OA, express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, alcohol reform, or sectarian religion. The Overeaters Anonymous groups oppose no one concerning such matters. They can express no views whatever. And for me, that's vital because I am, by my very nature, extremely rebellious. You know, and I am a nonconformist. I am a resistor in a lot of ways. If something I see or feel does not compute with me, does not land with me, that I don't agree with, then I literally cannot have anything to do with it. You know, I recoil as if from a hot flame, so to speak. And that is not an issue here. I am welcomed and loved, regardless of where I am, in that. And I welcome and love everyone regardless of where they are. I have no opinion on it. It's an outside issue. It really is. I don't want anything about my experience, strength, and hope to get in the way of someone else receiving that spark that I received. And for damn sure, this is one of the easiest ways to do that, is if I continue on a way that pushes people away. It's all about finding a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity, and then doing the actions that lead to a spiritual transformation and keep us there and keep that transformation happening, you know, just one day at a time. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick. Next up is Mary C., followed by Julie G.
Thank you so much. My name is Mary C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Italy. And what great shares this morning. What a fabulous reading. My experience was when I came into program a long time ago, I tried going back to the faith of my childhood, as I understood from the big books, give that a try. It didn't work for me. It just wasn't the right thing for me. And it took me probably, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, maybe 10 years, to find a spiritual path that does work for me and is a central part of my life today. And I'm so grateful to have that in my life. But I love that in our history and in the book, it's so clear we can have a faith. We can believe in a power God in the rooms, or we can use the group as a higher power or nothing at all. But everyone is free to do that. And I've been reading with my sponsor a book about the history of AA that I'd never read before. And it just makes so much sense how we got to this tradition. You know, they were part of the Oxford group and then they weren't. And some of them had a deeply spiritual life in a religious faith. And then some other alcoholics came in that didn't fit for. And then the group became their higher power. So it's just one of those amazing miracles about this program of how spirituality came to be such a central part, but a part that anybody can believe in or not believe in, just not believe in yourself. That's the key thing. I am not my higher power, and I can't cure my any compulsive disease, overeating in this instance. And as long as that's the case, you can believe whatever you want to believe. And so I'm just, you know, it's a miracle, this program. It's just amazing the fundamental truths that kind of just fell into place and how lucky we are, how lucky I am. I just can't believe how lucky I am to have the life that recovery has given me. So thank you for letting me share, and look forward to hearing everybody else. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it. Next up is Julie G, followed by Pedro B.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Russ, for your service. I'm Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. I, too, feel lucky and blessed and just so grateful to be here, grateful to hear these amazing shares. You know, what really has struck out to me in this section of the book is how this group of very ill, dying, trying to recover people surrendered and leaned into the power of humility and inclusivity, generosity of spirit, open-mindedness. And those are qualities that I now realize that when I align my will with that of the God of my understanding and try to emulate those qualities, everything in my life is just better. Here again, I am reminded that if I can just have and strive to have positive regard and respect for others' rights to believe or choose as they wish, not just as regards religion, but in all areas of life, I have more peace and serenity. It's not my job to change anyone. So I'm grateful for that reminder. You know, I think about how, you know, the basic, you know, message to me is it's not for me to say. And if I think it's for me to say, that's ego. I'm in self. So, I wrote down some questions for myself. Am I willing to sit with discomfort? Am I willing to hear things that I may not agree with? And can I keep my serenity? Can I know that my serenity comes from God, not from others? Do I act in accord with my values? And do I notice when I'm not? And can I ask God to help me continue to grow? To grow in understanding and effectiveness, which may be uncomfortable. I have come to realize when I lean into humility, I remember that being right is really overrated. In the past, it's been important to me. And now I see that it really brings this elusive and false satisfaction, not unlike the food. So today, I'm going to try to stay open-minded and listen for God's direction, and live and let live, because it's just a better way of living. So looking forward to hearing other shares. Thanks. I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Julie. Appreciate it. Before Pedro jumps up on here, let me let you know where we're at if he came on a little later. So we are on page 28. There's a solution, fourth paragraph, starting with, we think it no concern of ours, ending with, but most of us favor such membership, and we're sharing just on that paragraph. All right, Pedro, you're up.
Hello, Ross?
Nick, come on with it, buddy.
All right, thanks, man. Hey, thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Pedro V. I live in San Bernardino, California. I am grateful to be here, happy to be here. I am grateful that I have an opportunity to be working on my recovery today, now. And my goal is to stay abstinent these 24 hours in front of me. And I realize I know only a little. I've been focusing on staying abstinent these 24 hours ahead. And I've been practicing step 11, so I'm really grateful that I was able to stay abstinent in the past 24 hours, and happy to be abstinent now and working on it. So the one sentence that jumped up me this morning is where it says, this should be an entirely personal affair which each one decides for himself in the light of past association or his present choice. And one of the things I'm doing today is I am whiting out the word alcohol and putting food in there and Alcoholics Anonymous and putting Overeaters Anonymous and then reading the book, and it's helping me tremendously. The other thing that's helping me too is to put this thing in the I statement. You know, if I read it, this should be an entire my personal affair, which each one, this I decide for myself in the life of my past association or my present choice. So I have a choice. You know, personally, I was born in Cuba, and I remember as a kid, I went to church, and they taught me. It was a Catholic church, and they taught me that God was in the sky. In Cuba, there was different religions. I remember they practiced voodoo, and I went to a meeting one time, and you know there was all kinds of crazy things going on. But then I came here and I started practicing Nichiren Daishonin through Buddhism. And the teaching teaches that we already possess enlightenment, you know, that this God idea. I'm so grateful that I think one of the most profound phrases in the big book is God as you understand God. You know, it's a personal God to me. You know, and for me, it's on page 55 where it says, we found the great reality deep down within us in the last analysis. It's only there that he may be found, we saw with us. So, you know, I'm working on connecting, right? Because they talk a lot about God here. You know, they talk a lot about God. And it says that somewhere, I think my friend pointed out the other day on where it says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. Thank you. I wrap up. The only condition is that the truth, that he trusts in God and clean house. Thanks for letting me share. I love you guys.
Thanks, Pedro. Appreciate it. Next up is Janice H., followed by Clary.
Good morning. This is Janice H., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from California this morning. Thanks for the meeting, Russ, and thank you, everyone, for being on the line and for what I've heard so far. And mostly I just wanted to check in because I haven't shared in a while, but the meeting has been very moving. And like when I was getting in the food this past time, and a lot of it came from a resentment I had with the faith community that my husband and I were involved in. And, you know, I just felt like I wasn't, I felt like we, and especially him, were not being supported through some pretty difficult health challenges that my husband has. And, you know, I didn't really want to engage with any type of faith community. And then, but I was just so desperate with my food issues that I knew I needed help. And the sponsor I got, for the vision sponsor I have, is someone who is a member of a religious tradition that I grew up in, and she's a pretty active member in that tradition. And I thought, oh my God, how am I gonna have this woman as a sponsor when she hears my doorstep and she hears all the things I've done? And the thing is, you know, she never like preached her values to me, you know, and she just listened and let me kind of come to my own peace with those things. And I have started to reengage a little bit with being in a faith community, not the same one from my upbringing, but I find it's something that is helpful and supportive to me and my other, you know, involvements. But I do also maintain my own conception of things outside of whatever, you know, is being kind of handed down from the powers that be in that faith community. You know, I have my own ideas from readings and practices I've been involved with outside of the church. But, you know, this in the I'll just say that in the affiliation that I am involved with, this is a very spiritual time, and this is a very appropriate topic. So thank you again, everybody, for being on the line.
Thanks, Janice. Next up is Clary from the UK, followed by Michelle M. Star one, Claire. All right, how about we jump to Michelle M, and then we'll go back to Claire after this.
Oh, good morning, Russ. This is, and everyone, this is Michelle M, recovered compulsive eater in Arizona. And this week has had a very profound, like, water over a rock impact on me. And I'm really thinking about everything in the last, the paragraph that we read today. And I used to always say that, you know, I grew up in a religion with a contemning, critical, negative, you know, thou shalt not, or I will, you know, punish you. And yesterday, I realized that God wasn't that way. It wasn't God. It wasn't the church that I grew up in. It was me. Those were my thoughts about myself, being so afraid that something, I was beyond salvage. And so, because I think, therefore everyone thinks, so that's, so I thought that's the way God was. But it wasn't. It was my own thought. It was my own beliefs in myself and my fear that
that's the way God was. And one of the things that has been a recurring theme for me growing up and even till recently was that I need permission. I need to ask somebody's permission to do something. And the more I develop this relationship with my Creator, the less that is happening. And yesterday, that was just like the most wonderful revelation, because it was that prejudice, that old idea that has never served me. And I just felt myself crack open. And it was so, it literally was a spiritual experience. It was miraculous, but it was the quiet kind. You know, it wasn't like a burning bush. And that's really what made it so profound. So I'm in a really great space now. And I am feeling to the most degree ever that feeling of being safe or protected. And with my Creator, as I understand my Creator, and also compassion for that little girl who, out of fear, made God evil. So I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Michelle. So let's see if Clary's still around. Clary, if you want to share, the line is open for you.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Sorry, I dialed back in. It wouldn't let me unmute. So my name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic from the UK. And really good to be on the meeting today and some great shares. And great paragraph. I think this is the whole week this week talking about sort of this expansivity and the different types of spiritual experiences, you know, sort of educational versus whatever else, sort of spiritual, spiritual moments versus spiritual growth. And you know, it's just so great that we've just got this permissiveness just to let this happen however it's going to happen to us. And it just reminds me there's many rivers to the ocean. There really is. And if someone's found something that's working for them, it's nothingness. It really isn't if it's not the same as mine. This particular paragraph, I think this is, you know, as someone else has alluded to, it's sort of an outside issue, really. And my previous sponsor used to say this is spiritual anonymity. You know, this is about other people, you know, really having the permission, whatever they like, and it's not my business. But I am, you know, I've had the experience in OA over the years I've been in. I've had a very devout Roman sponsor. I've had a lovely pagan sponsor who used to go up on hills and bang her drums. I've had various smatterings of other religious sort of friends and fellows. And you know what has really been amazing for me is I can take what I like and leave the rest. I really can. And there's some really amazing things about all those religions. And yet I'm not compelled to be anything, really, or identify myself as anything. And my own, you know, this other thing, this should be an entirely personal affair, which each one decides for himself in the light of past associations or present choice. And, you know, it reminds me of, I flip forward to We Agnostics to page 45, where it talks about, you know, these prejudices I came into the program with. And I didn't think I had prejudices because my family were really agnostic. I had no religious upbringing at all. In fact, my father was very anti. But as time's gone on, I've seen that is a prejudice. Of course it's a prejudice because I had these fixed ideas. And what's been so fantastic over the years I've been in OA and exposed to these different religions, these different practices, different cultures, different spiritual experiences, is that, you know, my mind has become open. And over the time, I've started adapting all sorts of bits and pieces that I just never would have even thought about, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago. And so for me, you know, that really, if someone else has alluded to open-mindedness, just that real sort of progression. And as my recovery's gone on, as my illness progresses, it reminds me my relationship with power needs to progress. And I'm to be curious and to pursue things and to go looking and to investigate things that resonate for me in the way that I see fit. And I haven't particularly seen fit to join a religious body as such yet, but I'll put the word yet in there. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And it just reminds me that my old ideas, you know, if I hold on to old ideas, it doesn't serve me. I need to be constantly open to challenging those old ideas and finding new ways accessed by higher power. And I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire. Next up is Kelsey R., followed by Jennifer C.
Hey, guys. This is Kelsey R., recovered compulsive reader in Texas. Thanks for everyone doing service. My contentment in life depends upon being spiritually whole. Like, I don't have a fighting chance if that's not the case. And I am very religious and have been my whole life. And that wasn't enough to stop eating. And actually, the biggest binges of my life were probably right after church, because it was like I was standing in front of a window. I could see it. I could hear it. But I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it, because the only thing I can consistently seek in the food is the food. And what I'm seeing in my life is that God is always sending help. There's always help. Help is always on the way. And I think of, you know, the man in the deserted barn, determined to die, and a searching party was sent for him. My religion has been a searching party. OA has been a searching party. Sponsors have been a searching party. Neighbors have been a searching party. They have all come in different forms. But the paragraph before this tells me that I have to have a relationship with God, that I can have a relationship. And if my life depends upon being spiritually whole, it's only going to come from that relationship. I was just talking to one of my dear fellows yesterday. We can have faith, right? But faith without works is dead. But the opposite is even more true for me. Works without faith. I can treat OA like a diet. I can go to meetings. I can commit my food. I can follow my food plan. I can make my outreach calls. I can do all of the checklist of things and leave God out of it. And I did that for a long time. I can also put my butt in a pew and be religious, but reeking of food, and I'm still spiritually broken. I have to have both. And I love earlier in this chapter, right? It tells we're people who normally would not mix. From steerage to captain's table, we like some of my best friends don't even live in this country. I wouldn't even know them if I didn't have OA. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I believe. It just matters that my conception is enough. Is enough, because that's my problem, is lack of power. I have to be plugged into power. And I'll just end with, you know, someone who I adore says often, I will never be more spiritual than the physical allergy. I have to put the food down.
Time.
With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Kels. Appreciate it. Next up is Jennifer C., and then we're going to take probably like two more if we can.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Jennifer C. I am recovered by God's grace in South Carolina. Thank you, Kelsey, for that beautiful share. You know, I get to have a personal program. You know, I follow the program. I learn the words in this book like my life depends on it. I don't change any of them to suit myself. I surrender to them. I ask God for a new experience with all of them. And I get to experience the fullness of what God wants to give me through this text, through these steps. And then I get to continue to enlarge my spiritual life. I get to continue to enlarge my experience of step two as a born-again Christian who believes in the power of God, right? Like, you don't have to convince me. How about Easter? How about the Easter story, right? Like, you don't have to convince me, but what was happening when these emotions and the lies were coming in and they were hijacking me, hijacking my faith, hijacking my will, and causing me to destroy myself over and over and over again with food. Where did my faith come in then? And so I had to learn what it meant to have a new experience with all of it, right? All of it, because I'm a girl of more. So the reason I love this program is because it puts fire in my Christian faith. It puts fire in the Easter story, because the more clean I am, the more clear I am, the more connected I am, I get to experience all that God has for me, which surpasses this program. If anyone calls me off the line and says, hey, you know what? I love how you talk about God. Can you share more with me? Then I share more. I share more than these steps. I share more than this program, because I have more than these steps and more than this program. But the truth is, without these steps and without this program, I get really, really blocked. And God confirmed to me over and over and over again, you need to be here. You need to be here. You are a rebellious little girl that thinks she's an exception to the rules. You have a disease. You're going to destroy yourself with food, and you need to be here. And I'm so grateful that I need to be here, because I get to know my living Creator more fully. I get to have more certainty, absolute certainty, that He lives in my life today, gives me the power, puts that fire in my belly so that I don't get bored, because there's always more on the table. And I thank God that He is the more, and that I get to have new and effective, deep spiritual experiences every time I take someone else through the work. How does that even happen? I don't even know, but I ask for it, and He gives it to me, and that's how He keeps my fire burning. So thank you all for being here. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer. So we got time for 1 3-minute share. Who wants it?
Rachel in California.
Go for it. What's the first initial of your last name?
M.
Got it. Go ahead, Rach.
Yeah, thanks. I'll just say that what's interesting about this topic, and I've been taking so many notes. So my dad, oh my God, this guy was a hot mess. He would just scream at us about, you know, who is your savior, and you know, handing me Bibles, but never would open them up with me. And but we never stepped foot in the church. He was an alcoholic and it was rough. He was very unpredictable and like, it was so confusing to me, you know. I'm like, who is this guy that my dad just raves about, but he's so angry. My father was so angry, you know, and I pray that, you know, I don't know. I pray that he has a relationship with the higher power that I have today, because come full circle, you know, I am in that, I do attend, you know, this religion that he screamed about that we never attended ever. And I'm like, wow, what my father was describing, that's not at all what's happening here. It's very calm. It's very loving. It's very accepting. And only because of OA and 12 steps, like, that I'm open even to this, that I'm even open, because I, you know, I had such a bad vibe about it from growing up like that. And I'm just like, wow, this is nothing like my father described at all. And so that's, you know, OA has brought me to God, or God brought me to OA. That's how I first came in. I was like, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with religion. I love, like, you know, 12 step became my higher power, and I'll never step foot in any kind of organized religion. And God has other plans, because I'm like, this is crazy. It's very calming. It's not overwhelming. It's not asking me of anything. It's like, it's really opened me up to a whole new thing. And what a great addition, you know, to the 12 steps. I love 12 steps. So great topic. Thanks. Pass.
All right, Rach, thank you. You're our last share. And thank you to everybody who shared and did service on this meeting. We wouldn't be able to do it without everybody. So, all right. So let me give you today's share ID. Share ID for today, Friday, April 2nd, 3rd. Friday, April 3rd. Try that again. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,338. And now we're going to end with a reading from the big book. And Julie G is going to read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you till then, and then we'll pray the serenity prayer.
Thank you, Julie G., compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.